Thank you, Pauline, for reading that for us. If you want to follow what I'm saying, Ruth chapter 2 is on page 268 in the Church Bible, so you might find it helpful to have that in front of you. It's just what's just been read to us. Let's pray as we come to think about this passage a bit more. Father, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you that it speaks, and we pray that by your Spirit you would speak through me this morning, that you would guide my words, but also that you'd open our hearts to hear what you want us to hear. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, did you know the word grace, what it means? We've sung Amazing Grace, we haven't sung Amazing Grace, sorry, but we have baptized Grace this morning. It's a great name for a baptism. Grace is what God shows to us. We sing the hymn Amazing Grace. And it's God's gifts to us that are given freely, given generously, given even though we do not deserve them. And so we talk about God's grace all the time. And God's grace is shown most powerfully by the fact that he sent Jesus to die for us on the cross. Where we should be punished for our wrongdoing, Jesus takes that punishment instead, so that we can have a relationship with God, so that we can have the gift of eternal life, so we can have hope and joy and know God's love in our lives. That's the basic Christian message. It is a message of grace. And that's all may sound big and highfalutin and theological and big words like that. But actually, grace works itself out in normal life as well. Grace works it out in the small things in life. And we often call that kindness. So at St. Luke's, we're going through a series of nine talks about different aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, different characteristics of God that we as Christians should naturally take on ourselves, that are helped by the Spirit to live by. And we're going through the long list, and the middle one is kindness. And that's what we're looking at today. And rather try and give a definition of kindness, I thought better to actually look at example, a great example of kindness. And the passage we had read to us from Ruth chapter 2 is a passage that's full of kindness. And there's a couple of words that could be translated kindness. One's translated favor, the other's translated kindness. And the one that's translated favor is actually more often translated grace. So we'll see that as we go through as well. So let's think about this story that you've heard. You might have thought, well, it's a very ordinary sounding story. Some people in a field gathering some grain. That must have been happening all over the place all the time. This is a very normal kind of situation. And it is a very normal situation, but we need to see it in the context of the story that's being told in the book of Ruth. And there's three main characters. There's Naomi, Ruth, and Boaz. Now, Naomi was someone who grew up in Bethlehem, got married in Bethlehem, had two sons, and then things were going badly there. The economy had taken a nosedive, and so they moved to a neighboring country called Moab, which is probably modern-day Jordan. And in Moab, things went quite well to start with. Her two sons got married, but then tragedy struck. Her husband died. Her two sons both died. And you can imagine what Naomi must have been feeling like. In fact, you don't have to imagine what she must have been feeling like. She tells you at the end of chapter 1, when she comes back to Bethlehem. She says, "Don't call me Naomi." Naomi means pleasant. "Call me Mara," which means bitter, "because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." Do you hear the bitterness, the anger, the grief that she's full of? Ruth came back with Naomi. Ruth was from Moab. She married one of Naomi's sons, so Naomi was her mother-in-law, but she also had her own grief. Her own husband had died, and so she'd been left as a widow. But she decides to stick with Naomi. She wants to care for Naomi and to look out for Naomi, and so she goes back with Naomi to Israel. And that meant that she would be a widow and a foreigner in this land. She'd be a vulnerable woman with nothing but a bitter old woman to live with. That's Ruth. And then there's Boaz. And Boaz was at the opposite end of the social spectrum to Ruth. Boaz had grown up in Bethlehem. He was established there. He was respected there. He had land there. He would have been wealthy and had lots of servants. This was the man at the top of the social spectrum in Bethlehem. That was Boaz. And so these three characters are the ones that interact in our story. But you need to know the context as well. It's harvest time, 3,000 plus years ago in Israel. And actually, the time of the barley harvest was roughly this time of year, end of April, beginning of May. And so the workers were out taking in the harvest. But they also lived as part of Israel. And Israel were meant to be following God's laws. And God's laws are written to show kindness, particularly to the poor, to the needy. And there's a specific law that's quite important to the story. And it says this in Leviticus 19. When you reap the harvest of your land, do not use a combine harvester. Now, that's silly because they didn't have combine harvesters 3,000 years ago. But a combine harvester, it basically, when it reaps the ground, it reaps the wheat, it sucks up everything, doesn't it? It makes sure you get every last little bit of the crop. But this law is saying, don't do that. Harvest your crop, but do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings, that's the bits that drop to the ground of your harvest. Do not go over your vineyard a second time or pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the alien, which really means foreigner. I am the Lord your God. It was recognized that people that were widows, people that were foreigners, had no land of their own. They were in need. And the way that they were to be cared for was to leave some of the crop behind so they could harvest it for themselves. And so that's what's happening in our story. Boaz's men are harvesting his field, and Naomi's coming, taking advantage of this law that's set up for people like her, widows and foreigners. And she's using it to get some food for herself and Naomi. But as we read through this story, a very natural, normal story, we see seven acts of kindness. I want to go through those very quickly. First act, Ruth is caring for her mother-in-law. Her mother-in-law, so bitter, embittered and angry and grief-stricken, is almost incapable of looking after herself. And so Ruth takes the initiative. She says, I'll go out. I'll go gleaning. I'll go to one of the fields and I'll pick up as much of the leftover grain as I can. And so she does that. And she works her socks off. Well, she probably didn't have socks, but she worked really hard all day. She made sure she got as much grain as possible for her, but also for her mother-in-law. She was showing a real care, a real kindness to Naomi. It took effort. It took sacrifice. But she was willing to do it. But then Boaz notices Naomi. Remember, Boaz is at the top of the social spectrum. But Naomi is a nothing in his life. She was a foreigner in the land. She had no money, no fields, no nothing. And yet Boaz notices her. He asks about her. He cares about her. And later on, Ruth will say, why have I found such favor? And that word favor, remember, can be translated grace. Why have I found so much grace in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner? And isn't that key with kindness, that you notice people that might be in need? Isn't that the first step to be able to help them? But he doesn't just notice her, he also speaks to her. He speaks words of comfort to her. He tells her how he's heard about how good a person she's been in terms of looking after her mother-in-law. He praises her for that. He tells her that she's welcome to glean in his fields. Although the Israelite law was there in place, probably a lot of people would have ignored it and would have tried to get as much as possible and not have liked people coming into their fields taking some of their grain. But Boaz reassures her that grain is for her. and reassures her that she'll be safe. And so Ruth says to him later on, "You give me comfort and spoken kindly to your servant." And then number four, he doesn't just speak to her, he speaks to God about her. He prays for her. And prayer is an act of kindness when you pray for someone. You're lifting their needs to the God who is able to help them and support them. When you show kindness by offering to pray for people. Fifthly, he offers her protection. As Naomi later on accepts, she could have gone to another field and she could have been hurt there. Here's a single woman, a foreign woman, in the land. There's not a police force at this time. There's no protections for people. She would have been very vulnerable to all kinds of exploitation or abuse. But Boaz offers protection. He tells his men not to hurt her, not to touch her, and warns her not to go to another field. That, again, is an act of kindness. Sixthly, he shows her hospitality. When it comes to lunchtime, she wouldn't have known anyone. She could have just sat by herself while everyone else sat together, but he invites her over to join in with everyone else, to sit with all his workers, and he gives her food to eat. Actually, he gives her so much food to eat that she takes some home for her mother-in-law later on. Showing hospitality, inviting people round for a meal, especially lonely people, is a real act of kindness. And finally, number seven, he knows that she needs food. She has no other source of getting food for herself. And so he makes sure that enough food is left in the field for her to glean to take home for herself. And she goes home with a whole ephah of barley. And an ephah of barley is about 12 to 13 kilograms. So imagine two big bags of shopping. She makes sure that she has everything. Again, a wonderful act of kindness. Do you see this story? It's a very natural story, a very ordinary story, but in it, there's beautiful kindness being shown by Boaz and by Ruth. This is a great example to us. But these are people of God. Boaz, when he comes to his men, he says, "The Lord be with you." And they respond, "The Lord bless you." He shows himself to be a true believer in God, but not just in his words, in his actions by showing kindness to others. But Boaz takes his cue from God. As I said, God is the God of kindness. God sent his son to die for us, which the New Testament calls a great act of kindness. And the Bible says that as Christians, as we take on the characteristics of God, we too should show kindness in our lives. It says in Colossians 3, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." And actually, when we show kindness to one another, it has a powerful effect. If you show kindness in your marriage, it will help to cement and make your marriage a good one. If you show kindness to your children as a parent, you're being a good parent. If you show kindness in the workplace, you'll help to create a better and more effective team. And if you can't show kindness to strangers, then who knows? You might create a wonderful friendship. If you read on in the story in Ruth and Boaz, this is when they first met. It was a meeting that flowed with kindness, but it led on eventually to them being married. And they became parents and grandparents and great-grandparents, just like we've got great-grandparents to Grace here today. And do you know who one of their great-grandchildren was? It was David, who had become king of Israel. And from David, ultimately, was descended Jesus. From an act of kindness, real blessing flows. Will we learn about the kindness of God? Will we live it out in our own lives? And will we look for how God is blessing us? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your kindness to us, and we pray that you would help us to show kindness to one another. In your name we pray. Amen.